Romans chapter 12. I hope you all love me after this message tonight. But I want to preach a little bit about sanctification tonight. And we need it, don't we, in this last hour. And I don't know, I'll be honest with you, I guess I sort of wanted to preach about, you know, just an encouraging message. And this is, it ain't going to be that bad. You don't have to have steel toes on tonight. But I felt as I got here today and began to pray and ask the Lord about tonight's service, I felt more like the Lord would have me to go this direction. So in Romans chapter 12, let's read verse 19. Romans chapter 12 in verse 19. The Bible said, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves." Dearly beloved, avenge. You don't know what he did to me. You don't know how they crooked me. You don't know what they said. You wasn't there. They got right. But dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, this is what to do. I'm going to give him a flat tire. Let him starve to death. No, if he thirst, give him a drink. Thank you, Brother Harris. For in so doing, thou shalt what? Did you all ever get in an argument with your wife? And you do something, you know, maybe your wife's a little upset or something or in a bad mood that day, and you say something real sweet, and your wife says, "What are you trying to do? He throws a fire on my head." Well, I'm honest. My wife has said that. Then I have said it to her too. But there's more to it than that, isn't there? Anybody else said that besides us? Anybody going to be honest? Maybe y'all haven't. Y'all ain't never used the scripture on one another. Children, you know, obey your parents, and wives, submit yourselves in a good way. All right. Honey, we're just strange. We're from Kentucky. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Here's what I want to preach. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Help us pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your love, for your mercy. We thank you for your sweet spirit. Thank you for the faithful God that are here on Wednesday night. Lord, we know others that would want to be here in the hospital and sick. Brother Ronnie called sick. Lord, others, God, I pray that you'd help them. But Lord, help us for the next few moments, Lord, as we endeavor to preach here tonight from your word. God, give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech, Lord. And help me to say exactly what the Holy Ghost would have me to say. Nothing more, nothing less. In Christ's lovely name, and everybody says, amen. I want to try to preach tonight on staying sweet, keeping a sweet spirit. You ever heard that phrase, "I don't get mad, I just get even"? Well, I know we say that jokingly sometimes, so I'm not trying to, you know, just kill you over that. But really, that's not the right attitude. Is I don't get, some folks just get mad and even. And then sometimes holiness people say, "I don't get mad, I just get even." We'll say that kidding, and I'm not talking about in kidding, but seriously, that's not the proper attitude to have, is to get even. This scripture here, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, and I don't know where this ain't in my notes tonight, but I tell you, there's more ways to get a preacher than just adultery, just money, or even pride. There is a thing that's called bitterness and vengeance, and a hateful spirit can just about ruin, well, it can, it will ruin a preacher or any saint of God that allows their heart to be overcome of evil. When you look at this, there is the power of evil, but then there is also the power of good. There is a form of evil against which he directs this warning. It is the evil of giving way to a spirit of revenge. And that's what I want to preach about, is the spirit of revenge and staying sweet. I mean, our flesh wants to do totally the opposite. How many's ever felt their flesh want to do the totally opposite? When somebody does you wrong, when somebody chews you out, when somebody gets smart with you, you know, and somebody says you want to retaliate, you instantly want to just do them evil because of the evil that they have done to you. Amen. And so the Apostle Paul in this writing gives us the warning, be not overcome of evil. St. Paul means that we are, that we can be overcome by evil whenever we yield to revenge. What is it to be overcome of evil? Generally speaking, it is just to allow it to lead us into evil ourselves, whether in word or in action. Amen. Now, one example is an outbreak of a fiery temper. And I'll tell you something, it takes a very mature Christian man or woman to say, stay sweet, when somebody is literally chewing you upside down in the other. Can I hear an amen? But in this letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul, I mean, he's talking to the saint, because he said in verse 9, dearly beloved. I mean, he just sort of eases into this. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Be not overcome with evil. Now, but overcome evil with good. When you actually look at this text, Paul, in this famous chapter of Romans chapter 12, it's probably one of this tightest chapters that Paul actually wrote. The first 8 verses deal with the service of the Christian. And then the remaining verses from chapters 12 and verse 9 through 21 deal with the sanctification. And matter of fact, you can go through every verse from verse 9 all the way down. Notice what verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Verse 10, be kindly affection one to another. 11, no slothful in business. I mean, there's all kinds of just quick little counsels here. And he comes right down to the end of it all. And he sums it all up with this statement. And verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. I've heard one gentleman say about the fruits of the Spirit. He said when the pressure is on, it ought to squeeze out the fruit of the Spirit instead of the side of the flesh. Huh? Amen. You can tell a true Christian. And I've heard some of you brag on others in this church sitting right here. They've said things like, I've never seen her, no matter how hot the pressure was on, I've never seen her get upset. I've never seen him get upset. I've never seen him raise his voice in retaliation. What is that? That's the marks of a mature Christian. Doesn't come easy. It doesn't come the day after you get saved. You'll have to work on it. Amen. It's called sanctification. Amen. Now, there's 3 things I want to deal with in this verse, in these verses. There's 3 reasons why I think the Apostle Paul has this charge given to the believer, that it is to give no place to revenge. First thing is, the first reason is found in 19. Vengeance belongs to God. Now, I know this ain't going to make you shout tonight, but I asked the Lord, I said, the Lord, I feel like we need this, but the Lord just kept drawing me to this. I don't know what some of you face this week at work. I don't know what some of you facing in your family, or I don't know what case may be, but I'm telling you, never have a spirit of get back or get even or vengeance. Leave it to the Lord. Amen. Note the words, dearly beloved. The exhortation is definitely directed to believers. And it would be a wonderful thing if all men practice and live by this rule, but the world never has, and they never will live free of vengeance. Why do you think the prisons are full?
is because somebody killed somebody's brother or somebody's son, or they done somebody wrong, and then they went out, amen, enslaved that person that done them wrong. That's the world's way. But here the Apostle Paul says there is a higher law for the Christian. You don't avenge yourselves regardless of what the story may be. You got to be able to say, God, I give this to you. My mind goes back, and I don't have this in my notes. I think I've got the track somewhere, maybe here in my Bible, but I remember reading of a story of a husband and wife. Some of you maybe heard me tell it years ago. I forget their last name, but they were in a minivan and in the Milwaukee area, and they had, I think, six or seven children. They were like Baptist, very conservative Baptist people, and one somehow his vehicle ran over an object in the road. I think it was some kind of metal rim that had came off of a truck, or maybe a board or something like that. But anyhow, when he ran over it, the van exploded, and it killed five of their children instantly. Instantly, five children were killed. He finally got the van to a stop, and they literally had to drag him. Somebody was there and drug him out one side, drug his wife out one side, and drug a couple more children out, and the rest of the five children perished in the van. I think later that day or a day or two after, one of the other children died, and it was just a sad, sad situation. I know, I remember reading this little track. It talked about several weeks later when they were in court and different things for different reasons, that they found the demeanor of this young couple smiling and cheerful. They wasn't upset with the truck. They wasn't upset with anybody. They wasn't upset with God. And the news media, this track said, was just couldn't comprehend why this mom and dad, amen, wasn't upset and just mean and ugly in the courtroom. Why? Because they must have had a true experience with God. And sometimes you can even get mad at God when something like that happens. Why me, God? I've paid my tithes. I've been faithful. I've went to church. Why is this coming upon me? You got to be careful not to get in a spirit of revenge. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Number one, vengeance belongs to God. The right to judge and to execute vengeance is God's and God's alone. Amen. The Bible said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:30 says, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. We should never take a spirit of vengeance upon ourselves. I don't know about you, and I hate to say this, but I've seen this spirit in church. The spirit of revenge. The spirit, you hurt me, I'll hurt you. You hurt my children, I'll hurt your children. You did me wrong, I'll do you wrong. You did me wrong, I'll do you wrong. But a true child of God will go to God in prayer and say, now, Lord, you know the situation, and I'm going to leave it into your hands. Give me a sweet spirit through this. Let me show kindness. Let me show love, because it is totally the opposite of somebody that's not saved, not sanctified, amen, to retaliate and to use revengeance, amen, upon the person that has wronged them. Now, I done mention one way with an outbreak of a fiery, they do that one more time, I'll give them a piece of my mind. Amen. I'll tell you something. A true Christian doesn't retaliate. A true Christian will be humble and leave it to God. Now, it's easy to preach this, and I don't want to be unmerciful, because I sure don't want this to be tried on me tomorrow somewhere. Amen. But I'll tell you something. Let's turn it over to the Lord. Amen. You ever get anybody around that's being hurt, and they're just criticizing? They are just, what we call it, running their mouth. Why? Because they've been hurt. And what has happened, amen, is in their retaliation, they took a hold of a spirit of bitterness. You hurt me, I'll hurt you. I'll tear you down every chance I get. I'll say everything in private or public against you. I'll tear you down. But Paul said here, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So he's saying when you retaliate, you're just as wicked as the person that's hurt you and the start of it. You can't retaliate. People that's been hurt are continually suspicious of with an uncharitable heart. The jealousy of a selfish spirit. The rashness of an ungenerous judgment. Huh? The second reason not to retaliate. Number one, vengeance belongs to God. Number two, treating an enemy with kindness will affect him greatly. By doing good, the believer heaps coals of fire on his enemy's head. When some of you sisters with lost husbands like to do that. Supposed to be a joke there. Y'all didn't get it. By doing good, the believer heaps coals of fire on his enemy's head. This means at least two things. Kindness will shame and cause anguish for an enemy. Amen. In his lonely moments, his thoughts will focus upon his evil treatment of believers and cause him to think and wonder about God. I thought that was good. The second thing, kindness will store up wrath against the evildoer and the day of judgment. That's what the Bible says in Romans 2:5. But after thy hardness and impotent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. That's the second reason. The third reason, vengeance makes evil victorious. If a believer takes vengeance, then he allows evil to conquer him. And this he must never do. The believer is to conquer evil, never allow evil to conquer him. I'll tell you something. Sometimes southern people, mountain people, country people are the world's worst at holding a lifelong grudge. I've heard this statement. I've literally heard, I'll go to the grave. But the sad thing about it, you might go to the grave, but you won't get up when the Lord comes for the saints. Huh? You got to get it clean. You got to be pure. Your heart has got to be, I don't care if you come to this church or where, it doesn't matter what you look like. When your heart is as filthy rags, and you're holding evil thoughts and just ways and just, how many people plot for years how they can just hurt like they've been hurt? I'm not trying to belittle the hurt. There's some of you, even in this small nation and myself, that have been hurt terrible. I mean, there have been some hurts that just, if you want to sit down, you can just sit down and have your good old pity party, cry about it all by yourself. Some of the hurts, but you got to turn it over to God. You ever try to help a hurt dog that got run over? Has anybody ever tried to help a hurt dog or hurt animal? It'll bite you. You could take Toby, Sister Juana, as good as y'all. He's probably part of the wheel at Prickett's house. Little Toby, he's probably, if you got their wheel, he might be even in there or something like that. Biggest dog bone in the refrigerator when they die or something. He might be even in the wheel. But you could take Toby. If he was to get run over out there, you go to pick him up, he's liable to try to bite you. Hurt, you know, even animals, they latch out. Because that's the human nature inside of us. And we do too when we get hurt. But I don't know. I felt like maybe he didn't. I'm probably not preaching to nobody. But I got this funny feeling that somebody's going to just whisper to me as you go out the door. Or let me know this week. Hey, Brother Simpson, you just don't know what happened this week. I need it, Dad. I'm telling you. And everybody might not need this right now. But I feel like there's one person that God's telling me. You got to be careful. Don't let it get to your heart and begin to lash out. Leave it to God. Leave it to God. Leave it to God. Treat an enemy with kindness and it affects him greatly. It could even cause them to get to thinking about it. Kindness will store up wrath against the evildoer in the day of judgment. Amen. Vengeance makes evil victorious. Don't let it be victorious in your life. You conquer it. Can I hear an amen? I'm closing with this. Come to Piano Hope, please. Probably one of the greatest personal experiences. I looked it up. I went to there in Esther. I mean, you could have preached about the man that built the gallows. What was his name? Haman. You could deal with vengeance on that part, trying to get even. There were several places in the Bible where Bible characters, and I looked through and mentioned, I read several verses through the Old Testament. I could have dealt with several different Old Testament Bible characters with the spirit of vengeance, what it does when it takes over. I'll tell you, when something like that happens, you know what you got to do? You just got to fall on your face and get God's wonderful grace to help you through situations like that. The bottom line is, you and I can't let any evil get in our heart toward anyone for any reason, for anything, period. If you do, you're going to be overcome with that evil. You're going to lose out with God. This preacher's son-in-law, after just 3 or 4 weeks of this talking, I wouldn't let him bow that. If you want to borrow my pistol, you can. If you want to borrow my pistol, I'm going to leave it loaded right in there. I'm going to leave it loaded right in there. I'm going to leave it loaded. If you want to take care of him, I wouldn't let him bow with that. I'm talking about a guy that preached for probably 40, 50 years. His wife had hair, little bun. I'm talking about holiness people. I don't care who you are. When you let bitterness get in your heart and revenge, long story short, his son-in-law went and got the pistol. One night, he started sending the word that he's going to kill that boy, young man that run over his baby. All of a sudden, and some of this boy had brothers and just wicked family. They started harassing the church. I remember hearing, said this pastor run about 100, 150 people. Said they got in a few that lasted 2 or 3 months. This young man, this pastor's son-in-law, was just threatening this boy and threatening his life and trying to just make him afraid to get out and don't ever pass the church. And somehow this man that run over this baby, his brothers or some of his buddies drunk one night, come into church when they was having church and went through there, flattened all the tires, just scraped down all the vehicles. The church went down to about 5 or 10 people, just the pastor, his wife, and just maybe a handful of people left, and a holiness church, and it all stemmed from the preacher getting bitter and going to just try to take vengeance on himself. Amen. That preacher absolutely drilled and brainwashed his son-in-law to where that son-in-law finally went and found that man that run over his baby, killed, murdered that man. He went to prison, and the preacher went to prison for about 10 years. When the story come out. Of course, I know that's extreme. What a legacy to leave behind. He was the preacher that had a crippled son in a wheelchair. He was the preacher that had revivals where there was 50 and 100 got saved. He'd bring his son that wheelchair. I mean, just rolled back and just all crippled up. Amen. His son was like 30 or 40 years old. And everybody just oohed and awed on this family because they never gave up their son. They babied him. They put diapers on him. All of them 34 years. He went right toward the end of this man's life. Amen. He got full of bitterness and hatred and vengeance. And it cost him his ministry. It cost him his reputation. And he was overcome with evil. Let's stand. Don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Conquer it. Don't let it get the best of you. You get it the best of it. Take it to God in prayer. How many believes God's grace can cover a multitude of sin? You know, the Bible said there's a couple verses in my greatest trial. You'll never know what it is. I'll never tell you my greatest. If I stay here till I'm 80 years old, you'll never know. I'll never tell you. I promise. And I hardly make it. If you, any person in the entire holiness movement knows the greatest trial I've ever been through. But the greatest trial that I went through, the scriptures, a preacher friend, a pastor friend, I went to him and I said, look, I'm into it. I need help. And they gave me that scripture in Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? You can't hold a grudge. You can't hold unforgiveness toward that individual. You got to forgive. It's not them. It's just the devil used them. Get that righteous indignation toward that evil spirit. Don't get that hard feeling. Don't keep that unforgiveness. And then that pastor said, charity covers a multitude of sin. I never forgot that, sitting on the couch in their living room, and that pastor gave me those two verses. You mean that was it? Yeah, it would just fan me. It was the right verse at the right time. I was looking at the individual. I was wanting to hurt the individual. I was wanting to mistreat the individual. I'm talking 20 some years ago, not yesterday, okay? I mean, I wasn't even a preacher then. But I mean, I had all kinds of thoughts and all kinds of feelings. But the Word of God pulled me up out of that, let me see and get refocused. And you know what? I'm not saying that's never crossed my mind again, but I've never fought it like I fought it 20 some years ago. Don't let it get a hold of you. I heard Kenny Morris. Anybody know Brother Kenny Morris? Seemingly a God man, Brother Turner, or Brother Joe. I'll get out here and run. I'm thinking of your former pastor, Brother Joe. I heard him preach Greg Atkins just a few months ago. Brother Kenny told one of the most spiritual battles in his life. He said, he was pastoring, and somebody had hurt him, and somebody left the church, and they'd done some sad situations and a lot of things, just a lot of untruths. And he was just praying and seemed like he wasn't getting anointed like he said he was. And I got you standing, I'm sorry. But he knew something was blocking it. So he went to prayer, and a spirit spoke to him and said, you got hatred in your heart toward that man. And Brother Kenny said it shocked him. Lord, I don't hate him. And the spirit spoke to him and said, yes, you do. You got hatred toward that man. He walked out of his church, walked into his house. His wife said, honey, dinner's on the table. He said, I'm not eating. I'm going straight to that man's house. I'm going to ask him to forgive me. Tell him I'm sorry if I've done anything. He said, I can't have hatred. And he went and made it, and he hadn't done anything wrong. But he hated that man for some things he had did. I don't even know where that come from. Where are you at tonight? This altar is open. His hope began to sing. Where's your heart? Who am I preaching to tonight? The Lord loves you. The Lord loves you tonight. Father, you know why you dealt with me to preach this. Lord, I might be dealing with one hurt person here tonight. Some memories that of past wrongs that cut to the heart. Battling unforgiveness. Battling unforgiveness, battling. Want to get even.
Oh, the power is real. They can hurt or they can heal.
Come on, church.
Can be touched, but you can't feel. Oh. Words, there is strength in everyone. And when all is said and done, wars are lost and battles.
Come on, give it to the Lord tonight.
With words,
give it to the Lord.
The power
don't let it hinder you any longer.
They can hurt or they can heal.
It's not God's will for that thing to hinder you like
you
this.
Can feel.
Give it to the Lord.
Words,
I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to get even.
Everyone.
I'm going to give it to you,
and
Lord.
All is said and done.
I'm not going to let them hurt
wars
me no more.
Lost in battles. It can form a bond as strong as steel or break a golden band.
Oh,
they can disappear with one small wave when written in the sand, or endure 10,000 years in
song. Help us don't have a spirit of vengeance, Lord, but stay sweet in the midst of adversity.
Oh, the power.
God, your will is for your people not to get even,
but to be sweet. Can't be touched, but you can feel.
Oh, yes.
Words, there is strength in everyone. And when all is said and done, wars are lost
help you with that. God can help you.
He can
help you.
He can form.